Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday, we're here, and then back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is not a live broadcast, but much of it is virgin, is original that I've recorded specially for this Easter Sunday. I want to thank you for joining us. Coming up at the end of the hour, we're going to premiere a special report on Agenda 21 land grabbing taking place right here in Austin, Texas, where I live. And I had such a powerful interview earlier in the week with Lord Christopher Monckton on how really the global warming swindle is the plan for global governance. It's the heart, it's the guts, it's the engine of it. And if you bring that down, and we are very close to doing it, that's why the globalists are just moving forward, because they've got everything bet on it. If we bring that down, their whole system is in deep trouble. This is their excuse to regulate and take over every facet of our lives. It's the most important fight we've got going right now. Then we're going to get into a special report later in the second hour on the Hegelian dialectic and how it ties into Edward Bernays. You know, I did a report on this a few weeks ago, and I saw some guy on the YouTube channel say, "Hey, Glenn Beck covered this last year." Well, I've been covering Edward Bernays for a decade. I covered it in a film 5-6 years ago, Terror Storm. But so what? If Glenn Beck covered it first, good for him. It's about how they're psychologically brainwashing us. Okay, I could care less who's first. This is not about territorializing information. This is about defeating the New World Order and not being manipulated and making the knowledge that I know and most of my listeners know commonplace. The people perish for lack of knowledge. When people have knowledge, they flourish. It's that simple. Speaking of knowledge, a couple of years ago when they came out with iPads, I was tired of the worship of it. Like it was like when iPods first came out, people would stop me when I had one in stores and just worship me. Young women, men, you name it. "Oh my gosh, it's so cool." You know, later, nobody cares. I just had it because I could listen to music on it. But I executed an iPad right when they first came out, and there was people freaking out. Even people in my office were like, "Don't destroy that. It's wasteful." Or, you know, "It's a great piece of technology." The point is, by killing it, millions of people saw that video. Of course, it really wasn't alive. I was drilling it and torturing it. And I pointed out, you don't care about me, you know, when I talk about how they're torturing children at Abu Ghraib in Iraq. You don't care about that. That's okay, because you've been dehumanized. Who cares if kids are dying? But if you see a puppy get killed, you get upset. But if you see an iPad get destroyed, you get even more upset. So it just shows the dehumanization. Well, I thought that dovetailed with this article. Desperate Chinese boy sells kidneys for £2,000, that's about $3,500, to buy an iPad and iPhone. And they're having a big investigation about it in China. Well, I mean, people in Latin America sell them for a few thousand dollars and get locked up if they change their mind by the gangsters. Some people get killed and have their organs taken. You know, first, it was a rumor in Iraq and then in Israel that people getting killed in the different conflicts were having their organs taken. Since then, it's been confirmed. What was it? A Dutch newspaper first reported about Israel, and people were like, "That's a lie. It's not true." And then it turned out it was. There's a lot of macabre stuff going on all over the world, and we need to learn to stand up against it and decry it, or it will just get worse and worse. Something else that's really disgusting is that they're reporting that 47,500 plus cases of paralysis being caused by the new polio vaccine being administered by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in India. And they're trying to cover that up right now. Big article by Aaron Dykes, paralysis case spikes in wake of Bill Gates' polio vaccine effort in India. That's up at Infowars.com by Aaron Dykes. Get that article out to everybody, because everywhere they go with these polio vaccines, they're basically giving them a synthetic form of polio. And it's all part of a hidden in plain view eugenics operation. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com. It's Easter Sunday.
Mother.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
That's right, coming to you on this Easter Sunday, the 8th of April, 2012. This is a worldwide transmission against tyranny coming to you from FEMA Region 6. No, this is not the Hunger Games. It's the real world under the UN global banker dictatorship. The president has openly told Congress, as well as the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the SecDef, that the UN commands the president. That's on record. The president has said the Supreme Court doesn't tell him what to do and that he is the ruler because he is the puppet of the UN. He's also chaired the head of the UN Security Council that violates Article 1, Section 9 and is treason with a capital T. All right. We have got the premier on radio of a in-depth report that we did here in Austin, Texas, worked on for a week, dealing with the UN Agenda 21 and the takeover of property. This started 20 years ago in Austin. It's being done all over the world. Same model. This is official UN doing it. The Statesman reported on it back on March 31st. Residents troubled by surveillance cameras. They've put up all these fences around land that they took from people. Remember back in the 80s and 90s to be a preserve greenbelt? But then the city turns around and sells it to select globalists. So they want to keep people off of it, not as parkland. And they have cameras aimed at their homes in areas of Austin and are fining people or arresting them if they dare walk on the king's property, the New World Order's property. So that is coming up at the end of the hour. We have an in-depth report with our own great reporters and researchers, Darren McBreen and John Bound. That is coming up at the end of this hour, in the final segment of this hour. And then we've got a lot of other special reports in the second hour I'll tell you about later. But to segue into this, I thought I'd play some excerpts of an amazing interview I did last week. We had a story that went viral and was picked up by dozens of major newspapers when this professor here in the United States, Norgaard, came out and said, treat people for mental illness that question that Man-Bear-Pig is our Lord and Savior. No, I'm being sarcastic. That Al Gore and his whole global warming thing is a fraud. If you question Man-Bear-Pig, who's very serious, well, then you're in trouble. And you're a mental patient, I guess. And there's all these other professors that say, arrest us, you know, get us. We need a police state. Like our own Dr. Pianca at UT has said that on MSNBC, and it became a big story. And he says 90% of the population needs to go. This is par for the course with these people. Well, then Norgaard came out and said she didn't mean that in her paper. And then she took down all these other papers she wrote. Well, we found a paper she wrote 3 years ago at another university calling for an end of what she calls democracy, or the will of the people to save the earth by shutting down coal power plants and taxing carbon dioxide, which is all a red herring diversion from real environmental problems. So we're going to segue into this interview with Lord Christopher Monckton, one of the leading people exposing all of this, because this is the heart of the New World Order global cartel megabank takeover, is this environmental cult that has nothing to do with the environment and is taking control of our society. So we'll go to portions of this interview in the next three segments, and then the big Agenda 21 report coming up. Lord Monckton, that's a long preface intro, but I tell you, they just think they're anointed and they think their authoritarianism doesn't stink. What do you say, Lord Monckton, one of the leading experts heading up your center that researches these people? All of your research has been proven correct. So now they're calling for shutting us up.
I think that puts it very bluntly and very correctly, Alex. They are running scared. If I can just review what the climate has been doing over the last few years. We've just had, literally 2 days ago, figures from the Hadley Centre and the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia. These people have now admitted that there's been no statistically significant global warming for 15 years. Likewise, the most accurate sea level satellite that we have had up there for a few years is the Aviso Envisat satellite. That shows sea level over the last 8 years since that satellite first went up, rising at a rate of equivalent to 1.3 inches per century. The Florida State University's index of the activity of hurricanes, tropical cyclones, and typhoons around the world, that shows the lowest level of hurricane activity in 30 years since the satellites were first watching. The sea ice extent just today is greater for this time of year than it has been at almost any time since the 1979, when again the satellites were first able to watch, and the spring has come a month late up there. It's very, very cold up there. That's why we've had it warm down here. So all their big storylines about how terrible it's all going to be are falling apart. Polar bears, another one, just today, an important report out showing that the population of polar bears continues to grow as it has since the 1940s. This is not the profile of a species in imminent threat of extinction.
Well, they're actually a scourge, as you know, invading green areas and attacking people and invading their homes.
Absolutely. They're now becoming very aggressive and intrusive because there are so many of them and they can't get enough food in these very, very cold conditions, unusually cold conditions in the Arctic. So they increasingly invade the human settlements in Greenland and Canada. So these are the actual realities of the climate. And it is quite clear that what they predicted would happen isn't happening. And in fact, if we look back on this now, Alex, you and I have been at this for some time, but the UN's climate panel, the IPCC, produced its first report in 1990, and that, of course, is a generation ago. So shall we have a look at how their prediction of global temperature has got on? They gave a high end, a medium end, and a low end prediction. And yes, there has been warming since 1990, but not very much. It's actually below even the low-end prediction of the IPCC. They've got every single forecast that they've ever done wrong. Every single one of these forecasts was exaggerated.
Plus, the studies I've seen that you've covered, and you're listing real facts here, they'll just say peer-reviewed, but you have admitted facts, they're not denying it. A little bit of warming is actually good. Plus, this gaggle of nuts said that we were going to be in an ice age by the 90s back in the 70s.
That's right. So what they want to do is they know they can get grants and attention and grow their little bureaucratic empires and academic empires by pretending there's a problem. It doesn't matter which direction the problem they pretend is, as long as they can all agree on telling the same story. Well, first of all, they tried to tell the story of global cooling, whereupon global warming began. Then the global warming stopped. And they can't change gear. They can't go back to global cooling or everybody will laugh at them. They can't pretend that global warming is happening because for 15 years, on their own figures, on the figures of the cheerleaders for this whole scare, it isn't happening. And so now they're increasingly forced back onto these rather desperate expedients, one of which, we'll come on to Norgard in just a minute. I want to do one more before that. I came across this when I was addressing the Law Society of Ireland in Galway a few weeks ago. They produced a graph, you'll see it on the left-wing websites too, showing there have been many periods over the last 150 years since we kept global temperature records when there's been 10 or 15 years without any global warming, like the last 10 or 15 years. Now, of course, what they don't realise when they show that that is the case is that the fact exercises a very great constraint on the rate at which warming is occurring or could occur. So, yes, we are getting a little warming. You'd expect to see a little warming over the long term if you add lots of CO2 to the atmosphere. But the point is, it's not going to be very much. It's not going to be alarming. And even if it was, as I said to the California state legislature just a week ago, it's in their case, it's about 30 times cheaper to sit back, go surfing, and enjoy the sunshine and adapt to the adverse consequences of any warming than it is to follow policies like California's Bill AB32 and build all those windmills in the Altamont Pass to kill all the golden eagles and hawks and kites that they're killing by the thousand every year. These are environmentally damaging projects. But the fact is, it's vastly cheaper, even if the warming was going to be as bad as they say it is, to do nothing. And that brings me on to Professor Norgard. And I'm sorry that I, too, have kind of come crabwise around the subject, because I wanted to put what she is saying into context.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Now, Lord Christopher Monckton, who heads up, well, there's no doubt, globally, the premier aggregator of the scientific data proving what's really happening with our planet, with the real scientists, the real satellites. He's the guy, 9 times out of 10, that is forecasting and exposing these people way out ahead. So they've called for his arrest, you name it, and he joins us now. Expanding on that, they have expunged all the universities she's spoken at or that she's worked at, except for Whitman College 3.5 years ago when she was commending Obama for appointing John P. Holdren, who's also called for a global tyranny and drugging the water to sterilize us and praising authoritarianism like Dr. Pianca does at UT. I mean, this is who they are. It's not like this is some oddball we found. We have it. We have it. The university pulled what she'd written about treating us for mental illness and said that it was a mistake. And now we find this. Don't wait for public consensus. A public letter. She says, public opinion does matter in democracy, but this is a time when following it would be a serious mistake. Two factors make public understanding of climate change unusually complex. She goes on to say we're stupid. And then it says eliminate coal, all of this stuff. She says we can't do what the public wants. This is even 3.5 years ago. They knew they were losing momentum and failing because of their power grab. Lord Monckton, what do you make of this? This is a huge discovery that the little poster girl that they're defending, it turns out, is an open authoritarian.
That's no surprise, because so many, particularly in sociology, which is a non-subject, which I would personally ban from all universities, if I were an authoritarian, that is, these people think that they know better than we do. This is the essence of totalitarianism. They say they know, they are so much sure that they know better than us, that they want to tell us every little detail of our lives. No, you can't burn coal in the grate or in a power station. No, you can't light a candle, it gives off carbon dioxide. No, you can't even go back to being a caveman, because that means lighting a fire in your cave and that emits carbon dioxide. What you've got to do is just die and stop breathing, because breathing emits carbon dioxide as well. It's this childish, persistent, stupid, intellectually vapid arrogance which is the hallmark of the totalitarian everywhere. And if you call them totalitarians or fascists or communists or international socialists or whatever phrase also means totalitarianism, oh, how they blub. I once let slip in Australia that a remark by somebody over there was a fascist opinion. I didn't even call the guy a fascist. I just said he'd expressed a fascist opinion. And oh, my goodness, how the left wailed and howled when I arrived in Australia for a speaking tour last year. The West Australian in Perth, where I landed, on the front page said, "Ban the Lord." That's their instinctive reaction. Every time you use their kind of language back, they want to ban us from saying it, but they want to continue to have the freedom to use this language themselves. So there's a poisonous double standard there. And this Professor Norgard, the fact is that if she had wanted to deal with what happened in a professional way, let us suppose that her original paper, as she now claims, didn't contain anything about the treatment of individuals who had this mental disease of not believing that global warming is a global crisis. Let's suppose that she was true in that. I'm not going to argue that for the moment at this point. The fact is that her university, in a press release, which I read while it was still up on the web, said that she, in her paper, it was their press release describing what she had done, they had cleared it with her before it was put up there, said very clearly that this must be recognised and treated in individuals as well as in societies as a whole. That's what it said. And then when I spotted that, I wrote to her a very polite letter, and I said, look, Professor, I don't know whether you said this or not, but the university is saying that you did, or at least it is accused of saying that you did, because I hadn't yet seen the university press release then. I looked at it again afterwards. I said, if that is what they're saying, could you please get it changed? Because this does give a very bad impression, and it's taking us back to the era of Hitler and Stalin. It was a very polite letter, and I added for good measure a few points about why global warming really wasn't a global crisis after all. And the thing is, I got no reply. What she should have done is to write back and say, thank you for writing in such a civilized fashion to point out what appeared on the press release. I hadn't noticed this. I've asked the university to change it, and they're going to put up a new version. And that would have quietened the whole matter down in a perfectly straightforward way. But no, the left can never admit they ever got anything wrong. So she didn't do that. Instead, furtively, the university, without, it hoped, leaving any trace, took out the words "and treated" in the press release that was out, the University of Oregon, and that those words no longer appear.
But Lord Monckton, let me stop you. Let me stop you here, because
I must finish this, because there is a Google cache of the earlier version of the page, and that proves that the words were there. The university didn't realize that in doing this furtively, it was going to make itself look just like another third world dictatorship. And what these people have got to learn is they've got to learn that, in fact, in civilized open debate, there has to be a kind of modicum of honesty, which these people have long since abandoned. And that's why nobody listens to them anymore.
Well, that was my point, though, is that you're being very kind here, saying, you know, perhaps. But look, they've expunged all her writings. The one writing we find on a university written by her, a letter to the president, officially her site, says we need to get rid of people's rights on this and do whatever we want. And we know this drug, treat, re-educate is constantly parroted by the entire gaggle. So she spews a talking point that we've seen ad nauseum by other control freaks, other greeny, you know, authoritarians. And then we find another thing they haven't memory holed yet, and it says the same stuff. So, obviously she said it.
I think the point is that the way I like to approach these people is to be very polite to them privately and say, look, something's gone wrong here. Maybe you'd like to put it right. Then if they're sensible, they write back and they say, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. Of course I didn't mean that, and change it. But she didn't write back to me. And that tells me all I need to know about what her true intentions were. Because I didn't write a nasty email. It was entirely friendly, civilized, sensible. I'll send you a copy of it after this, Alex, and you can put it up on your website. Because it makes very sensible points, not only about her, but also the main points about why we don't have a problem with the climate. And even if we did, there's nothing we can afford to do about it. It's much better not to worry about it and just let it happen. It won't be that damaging with sea level rising at 1.3 inches per century, etc. So I think what we have to do is to say very firmly to these people, we are now on your case. If you come out and demand international climate courts or European criminal climate courts, they're actually talking about that in Europe at the moment. Of course, I'm trying to stop that too. If you go on talking about having people sent to psychiatric institutions and treated for mental illness, if they dare to raise perfectly legitimate scientific and economic questions rooted in the science, then it is you who deserve to be locked up and not them. And I'm going to make a proposal here, Alex. I think we're going to need a law which says that anybody who uses that kind of hate speech about having people treated for mental illness, if they dare to disagree with the official so-called consensus, which of course is just the Communist Party line, then I think anyone who says that should themselves be locked up in prison for hate speech, for discrimination.
It's Easter Sunday. Thanks for joining us as we defend Western civilization and basic liberties. We'll be right back. It's Easter Sunday. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show. Now back to our interview with Lord Christopher Monckton with your truth overload.
Let me tell you the story of Trofim Denisovich Lysenko. Now, he, in the 1940s and 50s, he was a peasant. He was somebody who thought he knew about how to improve the yield of crops. And his idea was you soak the seed corn in water over the winter instead of planting it out in the autumn to get used to the cold weather. And then it germinates better in the spring. It doesn't, actually. But that was his theory. And he told his local Communist Party secretary of this over a beer one night. And the Communist Party secretary said, "Trofim, here you are, an ignorant, untutored peasant, but you have come up with an idea as brilliant as this just because you live in the glorious Soviet Union." And by this propaganda, he ended up, by some ghastly mischance, as head of the Soviet Academy of Sciences, as a result of which there were 20 failed harvests because they all had to pursue this ludicrous policy of soaking the seed corn in water, where, in fact, it just becomes rotten and doesn't produce any crop. And 20 failed harvests, 20 million Soviet citizens killed of starvation as a direct result of this mad policy imposed from the centre. And anybody who quarrelled with Lysenko and said this was wrong, anybody who also opposed his notion there was no such thing as genetics, was sent to prison or killed or both. That was what actually happened in Soviet Russia. And now the same kind of people are using the same kind of language and advocating the same kind of remedies, and it is they, not we, who should go to jail. And as the dictator of Nicaragua used to say to those whom he defeated in the various elections there, "You won the election, but I won the count." They like to stack the way things fall in their favour because they know that they can't beat us in argument. If you read Obama's hero, Saul Alinsky, another communist agitator just like Obama himself, Alinsky, in his Rules for Radicals, he says this. He says, "Don't try to argue with the capitalists. They are right. We all know they're right. We know they have the truth. We know they can argue better than we can because they're right and true. So if you want to deal with them, attack their reputations." And this is what she's doing. She's trying to make out that anyone who dares to say that there may be something wrong with this bogus climate science, that it's been oversold and over-exaggerated, and if there's no economic basis for it anyway, anyone who says that, she says, is effectively mentally defective.
Lord Monckton, I wanted to look at the big picture here and talk about Agenda 21. The environmentalists, who aren't real environmentalists, as you said, they're distracting from all the real stuff that's happening that needs to be dealt with. They are establishing Agenda 21, a global UNESCO model of the ultra-elite against the rest of the free market, a neo-feudalism, a post-industrial world. They've taken over 30,000 acres, that's conservative, in Austin the last 20 years, forcing people to sell it for pennies on the dollar, farms and ranches in key development zones. I've interviewed the farmers and ranchers. They take this, one of the fastest growing cities in the U.S., they take this land and a few years later take the restrictions off, and they, the commissars, the former mayors and others, sell it and control it and make money off of it. Open criminal activity. And they told the citizens, when we take this land, it's going to be giant green belts. But most of the land they didn't turn into green belts. They built shopping malls on it, movie theaters, whatever. The point is they stole it. Now, here's the Austin American Statesman. Residents troubled by surveillance cameras on these tens of thousands of acres they haven't sold yet because they don't want humans using it because they'll think it's their park. They put up big fences. Show folks a shot of this crew. They put up big game fences where the backyards back up and arrest people with hidden cameras that are seen ever walking on the land that was promised to be greenbelt. And it says in the article, worst of all, they even hike on the trail. The evil humans are hiking on the trail, and they have hidden cameras watching the evil citizens. I mean, this is pure feudalism, Lord Monckton. Your comments on that?
Well, that's exactly what it is. It is an outrage. And I think it's time that instead of just complaining about this, we started to make plans to fight back. The first step, it seems to me, is to get the matter of President Obama's birth certificate into court with a serious challenge rather than the joke challenges we've had so far. The next thing to do is to make sure that the Republicans, who seem to me to be dead from the neck up and dead from the neck down, every time this kind of outrage from the left comes out, they should say something about it. Why is it left always to you and me and Mark Morano and a tiny handful of others to speak out and say that this kind of hate speech from Professor Norgaard's university is the kind of thing that ought to be a criminal offence? If they try to make hate speech as they define it from us a criminal offense, then it's time that they should endure the same thing. If they go around accusing people like you and me, Alex, of being mentally defective because we dare to question the notions of global warming that they present, then they should go to jail for that, because that is an unreasonable restriction on our right to our reputation. And we have in England a law called criminal libel. You do that to me in England, I'll have you in court for it, for criminal libel. And you can go to jail for a long time for doing it. Now, in the United States, you have no such law. And I think that free speech, which is guaranteed in your constitution, can only work if universities like that of Oregon are told that if you use hate speech of that kind, you can be fined millions of dollars, and the people at the university responsible for it can go to jail for a very, very long time. Let us start using against the left precisely the weapons they're trying to use against us and see how they like it.
Well, Lord Monckton, don't we start with not even calling them the left? Because, I mean, Thomas Jefferson was on the left. You want, you know, the old classic liberal. I mean, I can say you were, you know, would be a classic leftist in that you wanted more freedom, more liberty. I want to show some photos. You can't see them, Lord Monckton, but later you can see the video. This is for your request for video stills from the hidden cameras lining the preserve, aiming at people's back kitchen window at night with them inside it eating. They take tens of thousands of acres, don't want you on it because they want you to forget it's theirs so they can sell it later to their friends.
Now, the reason why they want to keep you off it is that there is a very ancient right which goes back to Roman law and came to your law through English law. It's known as usufruct, or right of use, and that if the public passes freely over what would otherwise be private land without any restriction or fence or anyone saying you mustn't do it for 10 or 12 years,
it conveys.
The public then gains a right of way, which makes a mess of their plans later to sell it on to developers. That's why they're putting those fences up. That's why they don't want you walking through the land. It's not that you're going to tread on the voles or hurt the flowers. No, no, no. It's because they don't want you establishing a right of way so that they can't then sell the land.
Yes, sir. Exactly. It was supposed to be a commons. I remit in the law. And it was supposed to, it's all over the country and all over the world with these UN land grabs. It was supposed to be, they said, oh, a commons park. And they immediately fence it and don't let you use it and then later sell it. I mean, it's so evil. How do you stop them?
They fence it. It's because they don't want rights of way established, because if a right of way goes across there, it vastly reduces the sale value to developers. That's why they're doing this. It's entirely for basically criminal reasons. And the trouble is now that because the state has become so wealthy and the individual so comparatively poor through having to pay excessive taxation and comply with excessive regulation, fewer and fewer individuals have the kind of wealth that is needed to take these people to the courts and get justice. And so I am also looking at proposals now to set up, effectively, using their language, a people's court which can call to account any official paid by taxpayers for their behavior, and the people will be entitled to free representation at the expense of the public authority against whom they are bringing the charge, just so as to level the playing field and allow us to get our point.
Yes, sir. We're out of time, Lord Monckton. Just briefly, what do you think of her reportedly saying it's racist? I mean, the UN Agenda 21, that's pure racism.
Of course it is. All of it's racist. All of it is designed to try to shut down the West. And it is disfiguring to see so many people like her calling us names like racist when it is she who is the racist. She is saying there are two races, the clever ones like her and the mentally defective like us. That is exactly racism, and she should go to jail.
Well said, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. Scienceandpublicpolicy.org. Thank you, Lord Monckton.
Coming at you live
from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
It's
Yeah, we're normally live here every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, and, of course, weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, with a weekday show that's on XM Channel 166, as well as over 100 AM and FM affiliates. And number one, when it comes to audio streams, at Infowars.com, liberty is popular, freedom is popular, so let's legalize freedom, as Ron Paul has said so many times. Now, this is a special report that first aired Friday on InfoWars Nightly News. We have every evening at 7 o'clock at PrisonPlanet.tv with our own John Bowne doing some of the research and editing. And then, of course, great researcher and reporter Darren McBreen dealing with Agenda 21. I'm going to premiere it here on this Easter Sunday transmission for all of you that are listening. Now, going back decades ago, they began to come in under the name of environmentalism as the same model worldwide and take people's property for pennies on the dollar, eminent domain, saying it would be giant green belts and parkland. Then they fence it, don't let humans use it so that you don't think that it's yours, and turn around and sell it off to insider developers. That's what modern environmentalism is, land grabbing, all sorts of stuff. Now, in Austin, there's tens of thousands of acres of this. They're putting up big game fences and cameras watching citizens because they tend to go and then walk around and use the green belts and preserves that were originally going to be for their use. And the Statesman a few weeks ago said, even worse, they're hiking on the trails. You know, where's the sheriff of Nottingham when you need him, you know, to go after Robin Hood? How dare him, that knave. So here is the report on Agenda 21, because this is the global land grab, power grab system that is attacking our once free society. We also sell a book at Infowars.com, Behind the Green Mask, that really exposes this globalist takeover fraud. Here it is.
The city of Austin, Texas has installed motion detecting surveillance cameras along the property lines of people's backyards in western Travis County.
There ought to be a way eventually where those cameras can be oriented away from the homes if they want to watch for any movement or any trespass out there. They have a right to do that.
And if the surveillance cameras weren't intrusive enough, the city has also installed these prison-style fences along the property lines.
They put this prison fence up and have cameras pointed at you? And only you. In fact, one home just a couple down cleared all the cedar trees, planted grass, and mows the area, trespassing regularly out there to keep that area mowed. It doesn't make it, and yet they didn't put a fence up there. And put any cameras in.
These unfortunate residents are neighbors to an encroaching vacuum of government land grabbing, all tied to the precautionary principle of the UN's Agenda 21.
I was the county judge of Travis County when the Balcones Canyonlands conservation plan and the permit under the Endangered Species Act was applied for. This wasn't long after I took office in 1987. It was announced that the territory and nesting areas for the golden cheek warbler and the black cap vireo covered a huge area of western Travis County. And in essence, what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife said was that to enforce the Endangered Species Act, there could be no tree clearing, there could be no development activities, anything that might cause noise during the breeding season, nesting season, it shut down any development in the western part of the county. A lot of public money, millions of dollars of public money that went into buying the preserves area from the landowners. The Nature Conservancy and others got private money in there and helped leverage purchases. Some property owners just sold conservation rights. They were able to stay there. They don't develop it, but they got paid to conserve their area. If they don't do a good job of managing the preserves and protecting them from fire, every bit of the money that was invested in public and private funds for these preserve systems is wasted. I don't think our elected officials are paying much attention to this. And instead, they're overreacting with this kind of bull, hurting adjacent homeowners for doing things that frankly should have been done by the government itself. They should have cleared those trees away from the neighborhoods and done a better job of managing the preserves so they help the species. So we got the worst of both worlds going on right now. But if you're considering buying a home next door and you see there's cameras out there spying on the backyard and this ugly fence next door, you're not as interested in buying that home next door.
The precautionary principle states that if an action or policy has a suspected risk of causing harm to the public or to the environment, in the absence of scientific consensus that the action or policy is harmful, the burden of proof that is not harmful falls on those taking the action. Basically, guilty before proven innocent. The European Union deems this principle an actual law, while the United States has labeled it a precautionary approach and uses it to create policy. The genesis of Agenda 21 begins with the Brundtland Commission's Our Common Future, reported to the United Nations in 1987. This report defined the term sustainable development, stated as development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of the future generations to meet their own needs. In order to define what these needs of the present are and what to implement in order to scale down daily aspects of human activity, Maurice Strong developed Agenda 21 and presented it at the Rio Earth Summit in 1992.
Climate change affects the very future of life on Earth. We have to remember that life as we know it on Earth has only existed for a very small portion of the Earth's history, and within very narrow parameters. And we are changing those parameters. So life is actually in danger.
The four sections of 40 chapters of Agenda 21 leave no stone unturned when it comes to absolute control of humanity. It places nature above mankind and calls for an end to national sovereignty. The abolition of private property, the restructuring of the family, and restrictions on transportation and individual opportunity. This map clearly shows the human settlement zones according to Agenda 21 planned for the near future. Red is off limits, yellow is highly regulated, and green is normal use. President Clinton issued Executive Order Number 12852, creating the President's Council on Sustainable Development. The PCSD has eroded the foundation of U.S. public policy, according to the master plan of the United Nations ever since.
We are talking about a globalist plan that remakes your city to a specific model. This is not only in the United States, it's all across the United States and all across the world. And you'll see these plans. They are, they're called One Bay Area. They're called Four States, One Vision. They often have the word vision in them, or they might be Your City 2050 or Your City 2035. They're planning out to 2050. This is the planning, you know, what we're looking at is a planning revolution here. And it's a totalitarian plan that they're implementing. I want to let people know that totalitarian plans all share, every totalitarian plan, whether it was under Stalin or Hitler or Mao, they all share the same elements. And you will recognize it here in your country, wherever you live. You'll see that there's being a takeover and a total control of all land use, of your educational system, of means of production, your all of your resources, okay? Also, you'll see it's all for the common good. It's all for the fatherland. It's all for the homeland. It's all for everyone's good, right? The individual will lose against this. You see the scarcity mentality. Oh, there's not enough. You have to restrict yourself. You have to conserve. You know, am I a pig? Do I want to use everything up? No, but we're talking about, this is a totalitarian design.
Well, this is about them controlling who they dole it out to. This is about them setting the standards of your light bulb, your toilet, your parking space, your roads, destroying your roads, and they admit to shut you down to make you poor so they can control you. They all brag about it.
Jesus.
Born upon the altar of God, eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson.
Take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
It is our dose, our number two. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday worldwide transmission. We're going to premiere several investigative reports on the Hegelian dialectic, and Edward Bernays coming up at the end of the hour. But we had an amazing interview with Bob Fletcher, who was one of the big whistleblowers on Iran-Contra about weather weapons and the strange things we're seeing happening with the weather. Of course, we could just pay all our money to Al Gore and his climate fund, and he'd fix it all. Thank goodness for the man Bear Pig, part half man, half bear, half pig. Man Bear Pig. You're like, wait a minute, there's only two halves. Shut up. If you question us, you're mentally ill and need to be arrested. Everyone knows that. In fact, look at me right now. I obviously am mentally ill. I don't want to be a slave. I remember a few weeks ago when NBC released that tape, I said it sounded doctored to get everybody fighting with each other. And now they admit that they doctored it. It wasn't a mistake. They won't release who did it. You know, NBC is basically run by the White House. So is MSNBC. I guess that little, you know what, didn't fall too far from the tree. That little dropping, that little leaving. NBC News apologizes for error in editing of Trayvon Martin. The original call ran as follows. You can look it up online. Zimmerman, this guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around, looking about. Dispatcher, okay. And this guy, is he black, white, or Hispanic? Zimmerman, he looks black. The altered NBC News version they've been pulling off the web everywhere simply ran this way. Zimmerman, this guy looks like he's up to no good. He looks black. Think about that. Now, why would the White House that runs those little hoodwinkers and, you know, has meetings weekly with Media Matters to demonize everybody and to fling race around. I mean, they use it. You're like, I don't want government health care. That's a racist. Whatever his name is, I saw him say that on Carlos Watson. I saw him say that. Chris Matthews of Slimeball. I remember during the healthcare thing, you're racist if you don't want government-run healthcare. And you're like, what does that have to do with it? Shut up, racist. What did that professor say, Norgaard? She said, you are mentally ill if you don't believe man-made global warming is real and want to do all the stuff we say, and you're racist. You're like, but what does it have to do with racism? The carbon taxes are meant to shut down the third world. That sounds pretty racist. Shut up, racist. You're like, but it's not about race. I mean, I want everybody to have power, everybody to have, you know, electricity. Shut up, racist. Okay, but actually, I don't think the left should be aborting 52% of all the blacks that would have been born. Shut up, racist. Well, I like strawberry ice cream. Shut up, racist. We're serving vanilla. If you don't like it, you're racist. Okay, well, I think we should have more property rights or lower taxes. Shut up, racist. I mean, this is what these people do. It's like, you know, I think it's pretty hot today out there. Shut up, racist. You know, I really don't want to clean out your cat box. Shut up, racist. Okay, well, I don't want a world government. Shut up, racist. I've had so much national media here, and I'm going, yeah, they're setting up a global government. Megabanks run it. Let me show you clips of world leaders saying it. Are you sure this isn't racist code, Alex? I'm like, I don't know. You always say it's racist code. It makes everybody then look into it and think it has something to do with race. Again, they either say you're a conspiracy theorist for not believing known certified liars, or they say you're a racist. And it just doesn't work anymore. It's about them controlling the moral high ground and putting you off balance. It's like saying, hey, buddy, why are you stealing my car? Did you just rape your wife? No, you're in my car hotwiring it. Why'd you rape your wife? And then jumping out of their car and saying, he just hit me. He just assaulted me. And you're like, no, I didn't. You're robbing my car. I could assault you. Shut up, racist. Shut up, mentally ill person.
And you're like, well, I'm not the one that's even shouting. They're like, shut up, shut up. I'm a trendy. I control reality. Do what I say. Obama, shut down people being able to vote on climate change. We got to take control. We know best. We have chicken necks. We are idiots. We control everything. We're the bosses. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. There's a war on for your mind. And I'm here to wake you up and realize it so you can get in the fight. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, would you bring your attention to me? For a beast for your eyes to see, an explosion of catastrophe, like nothing you've ever seen before. Watch closely as I open this door.
Reality. Nothing can compete with the truth overload. Nothing can compete with reality and all its beauty and all its pain. The highs and lows. Do you need it? I know I need it. Once you get the truth, you never go back. Once you take the red pill, you see how deep the rabbit hole goes. It is Easter Sunday. It is the eighth day of April 2012, and we are now into hour number two. Coming up in the final segment of this hour, we'll look at mind control, the war on for your mind that I was just mentioning. We'll examine the Hegelian dialectic of manipulation and philosophy and how it ties into Edward Bernays, the father of modern brainwashing in advertising. That's coming up. But first, former businessman who got caught up in Iran-Contra, was an Iran-Contra whistleblower, Bob Fletcher, joins us. He was one of the first people that I ever saw ferret out the UN treaty on weather manipulation. With all the big tornadoes we saw last weekend in Dallas and some of the strange things that are happening, I thought we'd talk to Bob Fletcher about weather weapons that have now been declassified. We're not in Kansas anymore. And more meteorologists are mapping this and saying, look, there are more tornadoes. It's not just that we have more Doppler and better radar so we know when they happen, but now they're hitting populated areas statistically more than they did in the past in areas that were already built up. It's not like we've built up more, so more is being hit. That's part of it. No, cities are being hit more. It was like someone was steering. Some said hundreds. Some estimates are hundreds that form, but more than a dozen that hit the ground. 800 homes hit. Carnage, Fort Worth, Dallas. You know, again, my old stomping ground where I'm from. And meteorologists are in MSNBC calling it very unusual. Enter the fact that earthquakes are associated in tectonic weapons with auroras forming even in the daytime. Magnetic field, like you normally only see at the North and South Poles, where the magnetic lines come into the Earth and then out, the Earth's shield from the sun coming in at the North and Southern Poles. You will see these vortexes form with all these other populations being hit in Chile and Pakistan and hitting right in key population centers in a few years ago in Haiti. I mean, it is getting really weird. And they admit they've got this, but it's classified. And enter Paul Watson's latest article. Another Wisconsin town reports strange booms, flashes of light. And it's getting crazy. And the feds have said, do not investigate. And again, historically, these are associated then with these weather pop-ups. Again, you can get flashes of light and booms with natural tectonic activity. Bob Fletcher, great to have you back with us. How did you first discover that weather weapons were being deployed and used? When did you discover it? You know, you're an Iran-Contra whistleblower, a successful businessman.
Okay. And it's a pleasure to be back. I really enjoyed doing the program. I had, because of ending up being a federal witness in the Iran-Contra thing and being a witness, a federal witness relative to the Christic Institute's lawsuit back in the 80s, which was basically a legal action action on of racketeering filed against all of those people that were involved with the Iran-Contra stuff. They actually had filed that legal action, as a matter of fact, prior to the expose that became the Iran-Contra inquiry. I was ended up being a witness in all of that, and that was what just switched on the light when I found out, and was right in the middle of it, when I found out what kind of unbelievable lies and deviant stuff that was going on with people that we were hoping was leading our country in the right direction. The Senate, the Congress, CIA, the FBI, these guys were supposed to be the protectors of America as opposed to being the drug smugglers and the assassins of America, because that's what I found out to be a reality. And because I was there, I've been there, done that, I saw it. I sat in on conversations with these generals that were involved with the weapons and joking about where they were going to go next with where the next war was going to be and things of that sort. And these guys profiting. And, of course, that originally the tremendous amount of the weapons, illegal weapons, stolen weapons, and drugs and all that, the real big input was started in the Vietnam War, you know, where they were smuggling the narcotics back and actually the carcasses of our own soldiers, which I can't think of anything more absolutely disgusting than something like that. And all of that, that was what opened my eyes. All right, so I started investigating and having people contact me after at the congressional and Senate level. You know, there are a few guys always up there that are honest and legitimate. They're not there very long because they either become removed by assassination, for crying out loud, or they're simply removed by having somebody beat them in the next election by illegitimate voting or whatever the case may be. But they remove the good guys as quick as they can. But there were always some good people up there that were looking into serious problems. So in that time frame here, we're talking going into the early 90s, and I was investigating and being involved with several different inquiries out of at the Senate and congressional level with some good guys. Dante Fisel was out of Florida, was concerned with the financial fraud going on, and several others doing things like that. They were kind of under the radar. These are not people that get a lot of media coverage, but they're trying to do the right thing. And, of course, Sonny Bono was another one. We get into that story some other time.
Yeah, we covered that last week. So how did you discover weather weapons? Because now
here's what happened. I get a phone call because, you know, when you're doing this stuff, I got all kinds of really great stuff where people would just send me information and they would say, you know, don't mention my name, you know. But if you want to risk your life, here's some information. You know, I kind of get a kick out of that. But so I got a phone call and somebody said, how about the weather control as a weapon? And I said, you know, I was like you. I was incredible. I said, what? And he said, yeah, you know, they're working on this thing where they can control the weather and actually use it as a weapon of war. And I said, well, wow, I mean, if you could do that, that would be really something. I mean, you could wipe out a country, either financially or physically, do all sorts of destruction and things, but you wouldn't. It wouldn't be like a nuclear thing, you know. You nuke a place, you can't go in there for 100 years, so that's not a good way to take over a country or cause them problems. But if you could control the weather, that really would be something. And of course, but my reaction was, you know, okay, well, listen, you know, I got 800 things to do this month, so next month I'll look into it. And he said, you know, we have a treaty. We have a treaty that we've signed back many years ago with at the United Nations.
Yeah, that was in, what, 1976?
That was right. It was 70. Technically, it was 78. But it was started, I guess, around 76. You know, and I you know, at that time, of course, nobody knew about this, all right? And it wasn't out in front. And I said, well, I mean, if I could find a treaty, you know, that's actually signed relative to weather control and being able to do this stuff, that would really be something. So I said, okay, I'll look into it.
Stay there. We're going to see what you found next. Because, folks, I mean, look at how they keep hitting all these cities with these tornadoes. And they keep hitting mainly only in the cities. And even the meteorologists are saying, this is weird, and they're coming out of nowhere. It's not natural.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup insurance and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
Welcome back, folks. We take you now to the interview we did with whistleblower Bob Fletcher. Is there a method to the madness? I mean, I know they're good at controlling us, but more and more I realize the elite themselves are psychos who are out of control and who are probably going to end up destroying us, Bob.
Question about it, and you know, part of some of my earlier discoveries was the old Iron Mountain report, which I'm sure you've done reports on. And for the people that don't understand what that was, it was a report actually put together in the early '60s under John F. Kennedy originally, and then passed on to Johnson, of course, after he took his step up. To the presidency, but the Iron Mountain report, which there was always a big argument whether that was real or not real and all that, but there was specifically, they laid out the steps that were necessary to be taken in the United States of America at the government level as we moved into a one-world government where we no longer were targeting Russia and Red China and the et cetera, and vice versa. When we reached that point in La-La Land, when the whole world was one big government, what was going to be financial steps taken, the psychological steps, the emotional steps, what has to be done to control America? And this was the important point, was as they moved out of a constitutional government into world government, because the idea was, obviously, you can't have a constitution that gives the people the rights to do what we have been doing for 200 years in the United States of America when we move into a non-aggressive mode, we have no enemies. So in the report, it says we have to come up with synthetic enemies that are equal to the dynamics of that they are artificial enemies that might kill us, the same as Russia or Red China might with atomic weapons, for example. So they write in the report, they put in there, you know what, we can use terrorists, unknown, unspecified, mystical terrorists that would cause us constant threat, because they said to themselves that if we're taking all this money out of the pockets of the taxpayers right now on the basis of weapons that we have to protect ourselves from Russia and the Red Chinese, and if we no longer have them as enemies, we still want to be able to take the same amount of money out of their pockets, so we have to convert into a new enemy. they talked about unknown terrorism, and they talked about maybe UFOs, maybe utilizing the concept of aliens threatening the future of the world, and everybody would come together under one big umbrella, and we can slowly eliminate the Constitution. That's literally written out in the Iron Mountain Report.
And by the way, that came out in the 1960s. That got leaked, and it's all come true. The Rand Corporation, I've interviewed Alex Abeya, who wrote a best-selling book about World War II, and so the Rand Corporation liked it and thought that they'd analyzed him and brought him in. And he's one of the only people to ever be given access to their annals. And he's come on the show, and he said it was all true. The end of the family, world government, phasing out all liberty, I mean, just a nightmare future. That is literally what they're establishing.
It was written and created in the 60s. It was a 30-year plan originally, basically, which we pretty much absorbed that at this point in time. Up through that would have put it into the 90s. They thought it would take that long to accomplish what they had to do. They laid out steps 1 through 9, by the way, which included world currency, which, of course, they're moving towards the power being transferred to the United Nations or some other such organization on weapons and things of that sort to move it out of the immediate control of individual nations, which includes us. And
look at Obama's telling Congress, you're no longer over war, and Congress sits there and takes it. And
yes.
The generals tell him, you're not the boss anymore.
And as a matter of fact, I had this fantastic story that happened. I was contacted because I was out at this time in the 90s, all over the United States doing speaking engagements, presentations before I became injured. And I was NBC or ABC contacted me, and they said, Mr. Fletcher, you're talking about this thing called the Iron Mountain Report. And I said, yes. And he said, would you come on, and I think it was 60 Minutes, it was one of the major programs, would you debate the fella that is still alive, the old gentleman that actually originally wrote that book that exposed, you know, the expose of this?
Leonard Lewin.
And he says, because Leonard Lewin is telling us that that he just made that all up, that it was all just a novel that he actually put together. And I asked this guy, I said, as a matter of fact, the producer I was talking to, his name was Rick Nelson. Anyhow, sidebar. So I said to him, have you read The Iron Mountain? And he said, no, I haven't, which didn't surprise me. I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. First off, absolutely I will go on and debate him face to face on your program. And I said, I'm ready to do it next week. You just let me know. I said, but he's not going to do that. He's not going to sit face to face with me with the information that I've got on this. And he says, oh, yes, he's already said he would do it. I said, okay, good. I said, but you need to also go over that Iron Mountain report. Well, he called me back in about 4 days, and he said, Ms. Fletcher, the network has decided they didn't want to do this. And I said, oh, well, how about that? I said, did you read that report? And he says, yes. I said, did you show it to your superiors, what's actually in that book? And he said, yes. And I said, well, that's why they're saying they don't want to do it. So the bottom line was that I told him, I said, look, if this guy wrote this as a novel, then one of two things has taken place. The United States covert government looked at it and decided it was so great that they would model the entire future of the United States and the destruction of our constitutional government on the basis of this guy's novel. That's one thing. Otherwise, this guy is the greatest psychic that ever lived, because every single thing that he put into this report is taken place, has either taken place already, or they only have 4 more steps, and they're going to be destroying the constitutional government on the basis of this guy's novel. But anyhow, the upshot was all of a sudden they changed from being being terribly excited on having me do this show to calling back and saying NBC or whoever it was, I don't recall right today, whoever it was, they weren't going to do it anymore. So that was the end of that.
Thanks for listening on Easter Sunday. We'll be back with more of Bob Fletcher. I'm Alex Jones. Here, be sure and visit our news websites, Infowars.com. You can also watch streaming video of the radio show when it's live, and all of my films archived at PrisonPlanet.tv. We've got a 15-day free trial running there right now if you want to check out the 9 years of work there. That's right, I've been on air for 17 years, but for 9 years, we've had PrisonPlanet.tv. 9 years this April. So it's now 9 years up and running, PrisonPlanet.tv. We take you back now to this encore interview with whistleblower Bob Fletcher.
To get back also to the, I don't know where they are now. You know, we have some natural things taking place in the weather. There are weather changes going on that might be put into strictly the category of natural weather changes.
Well, Mars has its ice caps melting. The entire solar system has been going through changes, and paying Al Gore money won't stop the ice caps melting on Mars.
Correct. So, but they do exist. But what they've ended up being able to do, so that people have a handle on this, just in general with weather control, they moved from what used to be the archaic manner by which trying to change the weather with seeding with a variety of chemicals and things of that, to what is now electronic means to alter and control the weather. And basically by using frequencies, plasma beams, and superheating the ionosphere in a specific targeted place, they can actually superheat the water, let's say the ocean, over a given square miles, or they can superheat at the same time the ionosphere, causing that weather change that normally might happen by nature with a hot and a cold weather hitting each other.
Exactly. They go, that's what Livingston said, you know, the father of weather weapons. He said they go and find already the tipping point area, and that's where they can get full control. They can create hurricanes. Stanford Research Institute had certified it by 67. They can kill them, weaken them, make them stronger, and steer them.
Yes, and that's the big point. That's exactly what he's saying is exactly what I was about to say, and that's it. Now, there's three parts to this thing now, too, in terms of who is doing it. We are doing it. We are doing it profusely with the HAARP program is only one part of it. The acres and acres of the antennas, towers, and all that up in Alaska. There's another location similar to that on around the equator area, but we have moved into using aircraft and satellites. All right, so you can do like a triangulation assassination would do with two or three people shooting at one person. You have the same kind of a triangulation application with plasma beams from two or three different places, two satellites and maybe one ground base, and hit a given area very specifically, so many miles up and so many miles east and west, superheat the atmosphere. And this is where also these some of the contrails come in. Some of the contrails they discovered, again, was I think an accidental thing a few years ago. By that certain types of material, et cetera, would could hold temperature if they were floating in the air. They found out they became conductive to hold an increased temperature. So if you put out a contrail in a given area, hit it with these totally invisible, like a microwave beam.
Well, that's what the other scientists have told me, is that it's not just that they're adding stuff to the jet fuel that aerosolizes in some cases, or they have special jet planes, you know, that go out and do heavy chemtrailing, but that the beams they're firing into it is already resonating with natural nuclei forming out of the ice crystals, and they're using the airwaves as the exhaust paths and the ice crystals as systems to beam data down over the horizon radar, heating the atmosphere. It's everything.
That's the problem. It does. It gets into a lot of different areas. And by the way, in 1995, when I had just was receiving the, it was late 94 when I first got the United Nations Treaty. Very late. I mean, it's like the end of the year. At the beginning of 95, I was able to get, again, utilizing a friend out of Washington, et cetera, I contacted the right person, and they sent me what amounted to being probably 1,000 documents. It was 2 cardboard cartons, and they came basically, this came out of the United States Air Force, and it was their entire weather as a force multiplier. It was the entire concept of not only how they were doing it or planned to do it and how it was being put together, but global weather networking. The application of military systems for weather modification operations.
And by the way, you said this 15, 16 years ago. It's all been declassified now. The exact names that you've used, what they've talked about. And again, Bill Gates says that he's going to have this global weather bureau that controls your weather. And see, if you don't pay him, well, then some bad things are going to happen.
It's amazing. Now, and also to say that I said something just briefly or a couple of minutes ago, there's a three-sided deal to this now. All right, so we have what I call the covert government, the secret government that's trying to control and mess up America's future here and putting it all into their pockets, so to speak. One world government control.
They're threatened by freedom because it will stop their monopoly. They're bad guys.
Right. And what they've also done now, however, way back a long time ago, the Russians were involved with us directly at Lawrence Livermore Laboratories. The Russians were even given an award for their cooperation. But they were here in Lawrence Livermore Laboratories working with our scientists on some of the earlier concepts on this many years ago. So what happened was the Russians back in the 90s, around the period of time that I was getting a hold of all of this, the Russians set up a company called ELATE, E-L-A-T-E. And this was the Russian weather control and modification.
And they don't hide it. That's why they cleared things out for the Red Square events. I mean, they advertise they control the weather.
Right. They actually said that back in the 90s that for a couple of $100 American, a farmer could get guaranteed rain over his area and all that. Now, I don't know if they ever got to be good enough to do that, but when they started becoming running out of money, okay, when they all fell apart and all the rest of that, they sold this technology that they had, that they had actually developed with us, hand in hand, behind, under the table, all right, they sold a tremendous amount of this to the Red Chinese. So Red China now, with all of their money, see, they're able to purchase all of these weapons and things that previously they didn't have. They could, because now they have more money than they know what to do with, because we buy everything through Kmart and Walmart. But anyhow, so now what we end up with, we have the Russians with the potential to do it. We have the Americans' covert operations doing it. And we have the potential of the Red Chinese. The Red Chinese weather control modification organization has 37,000 employees. Read my lips, 37,000. Now, of course, this is spread out all over. They do a little bit of everything. But that's how big the Chinese weather modification operation is.
Amazing. Stay there. I can't believe this has gone by so fast. We're going to have you back up again. We'll be right back. I've got some key intel.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
We've reached the home stretch on this Easter Sunday transmission, blasting out on the AM and FM dial and online at InfoWars.com. Now I want to go to clips from our nightly news transmission, InfoWars Nightly News, on the Hegelian dialectic. Then we segue into Edward Bernays, the father of modern propaganda.
Global banking cartel has used one tried and true process to create wars, rob us of our currency, and eat away at our substance. This process of control over the masses is called the Hegelian dialectic. So what is it, and how is it being used today? German philosopher George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel devised a dialectic or method to resolve a disagreement between outcomes. The dialectic is made up of three attributes: thesis, an idea or opinion; antithesis, the opposite idea or opinion; and synthesis, the alchemic process to bring together a wanted change. It is commonly referred to as order out of chaos, and is waged against the masses in many forms. Saul Alinsky, self-avowed Marxist, proponent of the Hegelian dialectic, published this in Rules for Radicals: any revolutionary change must be preceded by a passive, affirmative, non-challenging attitude toward change among the mass of our people. They must feel so frustrated, so defeated, so lost, so futureless in the prevailing system that they are willing to let go of the past and chance the future. George Bush became the hero of 9/11 simply due to the fact that he was the president, and then rammed through legislation that threatened our liberties as we all complacently stood by and allowed it to happen. A manufactured crisis occurs, thesis. George Bush answers it by rallying public opinion and becoming the host of the tragedy, antithesis. Thus owning the crisis through synthesis. Equilibrium is attained. All of the once separate parts of the plan are joined together. In this example, the Patriot Act acting as the equilibrium on the desired road to tyrannical fascism in America.
They're too good at what they're doing. They create the crisis on record. They sell the fraud. Then they say, give us more power. Give up your sovereignty, Europe, America, and we'll fix it. But then it only implodes faster. They make bigger bonuses, but they're destroying their own golden goose. They're hacking it open greedily. When it's giving them a golden egg every morning, they think there's eggs inside. I think the point you made of that, because they're on record creating this to consolidate power. They've bragged about it. Those memos have been made public by Goldman Sachs and others, but they're going to fry things so badly the bankers are all running to private islands with their own security teams. I mean, like, they want to rule everything so much and have just so many digits in their bank accounts that they're going to devalue the value of the digits through their sheer greed.
That is a possibility. And if you look at the Hegelian dialectic, if that crisis at the beginning spins out of control, they lose the tail end of the dialectic, don't they? There will be no synthesis at the end. They'll be lucky if they survive.
Another method to manipulate the masses is the use of two opposing views to attain the desired view. Politician A espouses the first view. Politician B counters with the differing view. A clear example of this was the debate over the unconstitutional NDAA bill of 2012.
I strongly believe that the United States government
should not have the ability to lock away its citizens for years and perhaps decades without charging them and providing a heightened level of due process. We don't pick up citizens. We don't incarcerate them for 10 or 15 or 20 years or until hostilities end, and no one knows when they will end, without giving them due process of law.
The great concern that we have now in terms of the security of the homeland is from so-called homegrown terrorists, radicalized Americans. So these people, in my opinion, have taken sides. They've joined the enemy. And to have this body at this time, as the threat of homegrown terrorism rises, say no, they can't be treated as enemy combatants, it not only doesn't make sense, and is totally unresponsive to the facts that I've just described.
President Obama threatened to veto the bill as long as it contained the section concerning due process, and then quickly changed his mind before the final version was voted through Congress. Obama then told the media that the version he had signed was revised to eliminate any threat to freedom of American citizens, even though this was not true, and the bill gives extraordinary powers to detain American citizens without a trial. The media synthesized Obama's lie by claiming that Obama will not use the powers he now has. The desired result is synthesized by mainstream media as they turn a blind eye to the debate. The American people cave into the lie because the process it is attached to seems so familiar. John Bowne, InfoWars Nightly News.
To better understand the current state of modern-day media manipulation, we must first look at the father of propaganda, Edward Bernays. His influence on the 20th century rivaled that of his uncles, Sigmund Freud, as Bernays pioneered the idea of crowd psychology with Freud's psychoanalytical ideas in what would become a new political ideal on how to control the masses. In his 1928 book, Propaganda, Bernays wrote, "If we understand the mechanisms and motives of the group mind, it is now possible to
control and regiment the masses according to our will without them knowing it."
He called it the engineering of consent and proposed that those who manipulate
this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country.
It was Bernays who introduced the corporate giants to crowd psychology methods and polished techniques to manipulate society. He convinced the population to buy on impulse things they didn't even need by linking mass-produced goods to their own unconscious desires. The tobacco industry hired Bernays to persuade women to take up smoking, and the Alcoa Aluminum Company asked him to drive the campaign for the national fluoridation of our water supply. A consumerist culture was born, and the U.S. government took notice. In addition to famous corporate giants, Bernays also began working for the federal government. They adopted his technique of manufacturing ever-present dangers and then maintaining a constant state of fear to give those in power greater control of what Bernays called the mass mind.
Edward Bernays, who's the father of modern advertising and propaganda, he literally wrote the book Propaganda. Joseph Goebbels, on record, the Nazi propaganda minister, used a lot of his information and twisted it to his own designs. Bernays was the chief psychological warfare expert for more than 20 years, advising the Department of War. He advised them to call it defense. Don't be honest anymore. Call it the Department of Defense, because you're actually going to run giant imperial slaughter operations.
for joining us. This concludes the Sunday transmission.